This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2073. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded February 11th, World Radio Day, Winterfest, Australia, Bolivia, Brazil, Canada, Congo DR, Cuba, Egypt, Ethiopia, France, Germany, Hungary, India, Kurdistan, Liberia, Luxembourg, Myanmar, Oklahoma, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. For us, every day is a radio day, but UNESCO has declared that every year on the 13th of February, that is the official World Radio Day, leading to some special programming, including on BBC World Service, says Mike Terry, not only on the 13th, but also the 14th, and also on other stations. Another important date is February 15th, which is the deadline for registration for the upcoming 34th annual NASWA Winter SWL Festival, which usually takes place near Philadelphia, but this year, of course, is only virtual. February 26th and 27th are the dates for it. It costs only $5 to register in order to attend it via Zoom, which, of course, makes it possible for many more of us to attend who can't make it to Philadelphia in the winter. All the details are at www.swlfest.com. There are numerous forums on their schedule, but I understand they're not to be archived for later hearing and viewing. You must experience them only in real time via Zoom, with a few exceptions. Larry Will's annual free radio forum will be simulcast on WBCQ 6160- starting at 23 UT Friday, February 26th, I guess for about 1 hour. David Gorin's shortwave shindig in exile starts UT Saturday, February 27th at 0100, running for about 4 hours, I think, and part of it is to be live on WRMI starting at 02 UT, 5800 and 9395. And now to the alphabet, starting with Australia. As for private Australian broadcasters, Unique Radio via WINB in Pennsylvania. We heard the first of their new broadcast series, February 5th, between 21 and 22:30 UT on 9265 Wobbly. Aussie Tim Gaynor says it was also supposed to be on the WINB webcast, but when we checked that, it was carrying something else. The next broadcast of WINB carrying Unique Radio is Saturdays at 13 to 14 UT. Tim says on Saturday, February 20th, that will be carrying Calling All Radio Nuts, CARN, spelled November Uniform Tango Zulu. This has previously been available at other times, a live hookup on a webcast. In the British DX Club, Harold Kuhl in Germany reports hearing was apparently a Brazilian pirate on 5899.1, such as at 12:30 UT, February 11th, via remote receiver in Rio de Janeiro. Dave Kenny replies, I just heard an ID as Radio Casa FM, parallel to their web stream at radiocasafm.com.br. They have an FB page saying it's 700 watts on 5900 and 350 watts on 7455, calling itself an experimental shortwave station. Around 6135 in Latin America, we have to consider both Brazil and Bolivia. February 7th at 0710, I had Brazoguese, so it must have been Radio Aparecida. I measured it on 6134.877, and a few minutes later at 735, Wolfgang Büschel also logged it at 6134.879. I point out that Radio Aparecida is sometimes on the plus side and sometimes on the minus side of 6135, but watch out when it's minus. It could be Bolivia. In fact, Bob Wilkner in Florida reports to NASA Radio Santa Cruz measured very close to that, 6134.91, February 3rd at 0100, seemingly in Spanish. In the Medium Wave Circle, Steve Witt forwards a story that TSN Radio in Canada axed its all-sports radio stations in Vancouver, Winnipeg, and Hamilton on February 9th, telling listeners it was a difficult decision. But realities of the quickly evolving broadcast media landscape in Canada have made this change unavoidable. The changes caught listeners and staff by surprise. 1040 in Vancouver cut into its morning show and with a recorded message to listeners that the station was changing formats. In Winnipeg, it's the 1290 station, and in Hamilton, 1150. Vancouver and Winnipeg will offer stand-up comedy instead, while 1150 in Hamilton has switched to Bloomberg Radio with business news. Peter Laws in Oklahoma comments, "Now they've killed most or all their sports stations. If you can't make money on AM with news, talk, and sports, do you really think you can make money with comedy?" Bell Media cut the news staff at two historically strong news stations, 800 in Montreal and 1010 Toronto, replacing them with CTV air talent. At SWLing.com, an update via Dan Robinson about Radio Kahuzi Congo DR. "We've been wondering about its status. It's been off the air for months, following a lightning strike in 2020, and ongoing problems with power supply." Now a note from Richard McDonald, founder of Radio Kahuzi, says they hope to be back on the air soon. It used a slightly off frequency, 6210.2, around the area of European pirate stations and various broadcasters. But Radio Kahuzi could be heard at European remotes an hour or so before sign-off between 1800 and 1820. It's unclear from his note what power the station will be using when it does return to the air. Previously it was between 500 and 750 watts. "Something's always wrong at the Radio Cuba. I'm hearing some spurs again out of Radio Progresso 4765. These are unlike the ones from RHC on 13700. They are extremely distorted blobs, approximately 17 or 18 kilohertz above and below 4765, such as February 10th at 0259. Dead air or otherwise defective shortwave transmissions continue to be common from Cuba, and pertinent to that, a story from Diario de Cuba says, "Electricity prices shock Cubans. Over 2,590 pesos. Bills exceed the minimum wage of 2,100. So I wonder if there could be a hidden shortwave wastage tax imposed on the poor." Another report of the mystery Egyptian music station from Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria on 9600, February 9th at 0930 to 940, with the music preceded by a 1,000 hertz tone from 6 minutes earlier. A new updater to the World Radio TV Handbook is now available free on their website in PDF, WRTH.com. You will find several links to follow, including this about new clandestines for Ethiopia. The one we've already reported, Radio Tigray Media House, on 15160 daily via France at 15 until 16. But they do announce in English, and plan to broadcast in English and Amharic as well as Tigrinya. But that's not all. Following on 15160 at 16 to 17 is DW International, or Dimse Woyane, W-O-Y-A-N-E, also known as Fenew Radio, F-E-N-E-W, which was first heard in January. And it also has another broadcast in the morning at 04 to 05 via France on 9760. And another one, Voice of the Dawn of Tigray, Dimse Wegata Tigray, or RWT. It's at 17 to 18 daily via France on 15340, which just started this month, produced by Dedebit Media, D-E-D-E-B-I-T. I. Ludwig has researched these further. He says the phone number on the FB page of DW, Dimse Woyane Tigray, is one of two known for that station, as in WRTH, the very station from Mekelle that until November was relayed by Addis Ababa transmitters on 5950. Apparent cooperation with that Tigray Media House project, operating out of an apartment building, that's where they have their listed seat, also includes satellite television. Ivo Ivanov says the DRM test schedule of Radio France International is changing, in some cases effective February 16th, and others as of February 21st. So here's the new schedule. 08:30 to 09 on 21620. 11:30 to 12, 21620. Also, 21 to 21:30 on 9580. 13 to 13:30 on 21620. 15 to 15:30, 15310. 17:30 to 18, 11630. And 23:30 to midnight on 9885, replacing 5875 where we've been hearing it. Wolfgang Büscher reminds us of the annual broadcast of Radio Amrum, or Imran. It's always on February 21st, 15215 kilohertz. This year, of course, that's on a Sunday, between 16 and 17 UT. It's originating in Germany, but transmitted via France with 500 kilowatts toward New York City. Normally, it's mainly in Low German, some High German, and occasional announcements in English. Jeff Garlick forwards a CNN story, February 9th, one of Hungary's last independent radio stations ordered off the air. It's Club Radio, as we would pronounce it in English. A Budapest court upheld a decision not to renew its license, seen as a blow against media freedom in the country. It often featured voices from Hungary's opposition. Our correspondent in Hungary, Tibor Gál, says it's true it will leave the air. In Budapest, it's been on 92.9 FM, a regional station. Its legal battles are very long, only a question of time when it would be finished. It will continue on internet only. It broadcasts a lot of public service subjects, not only political ones. He says the state-owned media and near-government stations are unlistenable, full, very cheap propaganda, for which even far-right people are hating it. Little by little, All India Radio has been resuming some external services, at first only in Asian languages. But finally, French has come back, opening at 19:30 UT on 9620, says Joe's Jacob. Alan Rowe notes that it's in regular AM rather than DRM as expected, and we hope this will eventually lead to English being resumed. Kurdistan Non, last week we noted that Denga Waylat had moved to 11530, but as of February 7th, I was hearing it again on 11540 at 1525, that is, and or the Turkish jammer, and nothing on 11530. February 7th at 0707, I had a very weak station, off frequency, 25 hertz below 6050, suspected to be ELWA Liberia. Wolfgang Büschel agrees as tentatively ELWA, measured on exactly the same frequency, 6049.975, February 9th at 0626, but only at threshold level. Via International Vacuum, Internet, AM, FM, and Shortwave, World of Radio 2073. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from William Hassig in Mount Prospect, Illinois, who sent a check in U.S. funds to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Jake Longwell of our New York affiliate, Global Community Radio, says he was experimenting with the remote receiver in the Czech Republic on longwave to see what he could hear on 162 kHz. There's that open carrier from France, except he was also hearing some modulation. It seemed to be in French, but at a low level. What could that be? As we discussed in the group, it is the so-called Luxembourg effect, wherein superpower longwave signals actually mix in the ionosphere, so they're heard on another station's frequency. This is not a defect in the transmitter or the receiver, Kai Ludwig explains further. In Central Europe, it's usually the very outlet of Luxembourg on 234 kHz, which does this to other frequencies. Modulation faintly appearing on the silent 162 kHz carrier. It can be observed via the Twente remote receiver, where they even have a note explaining this, since it seems to confuse people quite a lot. Here's an angle on the coup in Myanmar we haven't heard much about in the mainstream media, but from The Guardian, February 3rd, via CIDX Messenger, an article by Hannah Beach. After the coup, the military charges Aung San Suu Kyi with obscure infraction. She's accused of illegally importing at least 10 walkie-talkies. A bizarre postscript, surprise use of walkie-talkies to justify locking up a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, reinforced the military's penchant for using fine-grained strategy to neutralize its greatest political rival. Myanmar very much needs news from outside. But as for broadcasts into Myanmar, Joe Jacobs says the All India Radio External Service has live streaming in Burmese at 0245 to 345, but with the internet cut off, we hope they will resume shortwave 15030, which has been scheduled. Also, Radio Free Asia has made some changes in their Burmese service via Ivo Ivanov. They've added a frequency at midnight 30 to 1:30, 7435 via UAE, and at 12:30 to 13:30, 15135 also via UAE. At 12:30 to 13:30, they are on Kuwait 15120, having first tried 15110, clashing with Radio Kuwait and DRM. Presumably due to frigid weather and slick runways, three of the major beacons I hear via groundwave in Oklahoma have been missing since February 9th and still no sign of them February 11th. They are on 350 kHz RG in Oklahoma City, 341 EI here in Enid, and 255 SW in Stillwater. 1450 Graveyarder KWHW in Altus, Oklahoma in the southwest. I have a hard time hearing in Enid versus two other Okies, but it's made it to Scandinavia, reported among others by Odd Jürgen Zagdal in Trondheim, Norway, in the Arctic Radio Club. This was on January 5th at 0901, he says, with an amazing signal. Of course, he does have amazing antennas. On a visit to the Free Artesian Well near Great Salt Plains State Park in northwest Oklahoma, February 6th, around 22 UT, I confirm that the TIS station there is gone, not only not heard, but not visible, as I drove right by where it used to be. It was on 1610 kHz, WQCL 720, listed as Jet, the nearest town. It used to relay NOAA weather radio. Here's an odd story, at least odd to us in North America, from communication of the British TX Club from the Daily Telegraph of 9 January. Long-wave teleswitch service to stop in April 2023. Up to 1 million homes may have no alternative but to install smart meters in the next 2 years, as the radio network that operates their current meters is turned off. Some electricity meters, such as Economy 7 and Economy 10 devices, move customers on to cheaper rates at off-peak times, while newer versions of these meters operate digitally to run or run on internal clocks. Older models are controlled by a radio signal. This is known as the Radio Teleswitch Service, broadcast alongside the BBC's long-wave 198 kHz transmission. This serves up to 1 million premises, according to trade body Energy UK, due to switch off April 2023. There are no plans to replace the old radio teleswitch technology. Smart meters will be the only alternative for customers who rely on the current service arrangements. Energy firms have already started to send letters to customers informing them that they may need to switch to a smart meter. And Alan Pennington comments, according to this, which is its use for some home heating systems to switch between tariffs, due to be switched off in April 2023, probably because the energy suppliers want customers to install smart meters. It does not necessarily mean that the BBC Radio 4 transmissions on 198 will also be closed in 2023, although that remains a possibility. David Cole forwards a story from the current issue of National Affairs number 46 for winter 2021 by Martha Bales with a somewhat cryptic title, News They Can Use. In late 2016, an amendment was quietly inserted into the National Defense Authorization Act that would have a devastating effect on the U.S. government's globe-spanning system of foreign language media. The provision, spearheaded by Ed Royce, U.S. Representative from California and chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, did not appear to raise any objections from congressional Democrats, either because they did not understand the likely consequences or because they were still reeling from the results of the 2016 election. Neither the press nor the public took much notice. Royce's amendment abolished the Broadcasting Board of Governors, a 9-member bipartisan body that governed a system of 5 media networks, each with its own distinctive history and culture. 2 of these networks, VOA and the Office of Cuba Broadcasting, are federal entities. The other 3, RFERL, Radio Free Asia, and the Middle East Broadcasting Networks, are nonprofit grantees that receive federal funds but are, or have been until very recently, governed by independent bipartisan boards. A 4th grantee, the Open Technology Fund, was set up in 2012 to support citizen efforts to counteract digital censorship, propaganda, and surveillance in authoritarian countries. According to the International Broadcasting Act of 1994, the overriding purpose of this is to promote the right of freedom of opinion and expression, in accordance with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The BBG suffered from several structural flaws, none that justified abolishing it, and granting a single individual, especially a political appointee, unlimited discretionary authority in its place. Yet that is what Royce and his allies did. Renaming it the U.S. Agency for Global Media, they placed it under the direct command of a plenipotentiary CEO who, despite being confirmed by the Senate, is by law appointed by and answerable to the President alone. At almost any other time, such a drastic reform would have triggered an outcry. But this received little attention, in part because Trump waited 17 months before nominating Michael Pack, a conservative filmmaker, to the new position, and another 2 years before asking the Senate to confirm him. During those 3.5 years, people throughout USAGM wondered and worried about what sort of leader Pack would be. The answer came right after his June 2020 confirmation, when he abruptly fired every grantee board member, grantee president, and USAGM's senior manager who had not already resigned. He then filled the boards with Trump loyalists and made himself chair of them all. Well, it's a much longer story. You may want to look it up. It's at www.nationalaffairs.com. For the other side of the story, as Dan Robinson would insist, check Byron York's daily memo in the Washington Examiner of February 8th, titled America's Lost Voice, a sympathetic portrayal of Michael Pack. Looking back, he says he was careful to note that VOA and other networks employ many excellent journalists, some of whom do their jobs abroad in the face of significant personal danger. Pack said he hopes he brought it a little closer to its original purpose. It takes a long time to change an agency. I think we've achieved a lot in 8 months, but it could be fleeting. He expressed hope the new managers he brought into the 5 networks would run them in a more objective and balanced way than in the past. This was just before he was fired, and by the time he talked to the interviewer after the inauguration, they had all been fired by Biden as well. So now Pack is looking for something new, like making more documentaries, but his experience has changed his ambitions. He suggests a sort of new privately funded institution, a kind of private Voice of America, could take up the mission that the U.S. government broadcasting has abandoned. I'm going to look to be a part of that and lead that effort, he says. We need to be telling America's story to the world and to ourselves. WRMI is off 4980 around local sunset and Gray Line is in effect. We may hear a very weak signal from East Turkestan, one of the 4 transmitters at Urumqi with domestic services, and I know that's what it is because I hear the other 3 frequencies the same way, 5060, 4850, and 4500, each in a different language. But WRMI has reactivated 4980, heard February 10th at 0302. It was barely audible and parallel to much stronger 9455 at that time with Supreme Master TV. This follows jockeying around programming from one frequency to another on WRMI. Anyhow, 4980 once again sounds like it's very underpowered, or perhaps just the exciter, but it may be running 24 hours. All its hours on the WRMI SCED grid are blank. A guy named Robert Kipp in Germany in NASA news of another Texas Radio shortwave special broadcast via WRMI. It's UT Saturday, February 13th at 02 to 03 on 5800. It's called America Proud. A one-time only very special program and a special EQSL for detailed reports to texasradiosw@gmail.com. Gibb says, back in October, I felt the need to make such a program. The title to TRSW suggested most of the playlist of music titles and artists, and TRSW and I made the program content. I moderate the musical titles and artists during the program. The 50 kilowatt New York City signal on 1560, once classical WQXR, was scheduled to be turned off as of February 12th because the current owner's family radio had to sell it for a great deal of money. The land was worth much more than keeping it going as a transmitter site. Anyhow, that opens up 1560 for DX in the Northeast with no more WFME. Via radiodiscussions.com, Doug Douglas of Family Radio explains about this. I maintain the WFME site for Family Radio. They sold the land. There are things in the works I cannot talk about. The timing of the closing on the land is such that they will be taking WFME silent for a while, as other things are taking time. They extended the January sign-off time to February at an ungodly sum of money, more than many AM stations sell for these days. It does not make economic sense to maintain the signal at this time. The transmitters and equipment are going to be moved into storage for the time being. The towers are being dismantled and scrapped. The new owner of the land has no use for four radio towers, and they are in fact in their way for their intended use of the land. There is no plan to turn in the license or to sell the license to anyone. WFME will be returning to air, most likely in two stages. Reduced power to maintain the license and allow the commission to act on a construction permit, and then build out the CP and sign it back on at full power. Stay tuned. Regarding damage to the antenna system, a drilling contractor testing for soil compaction accidentally took out the control wiring to two of the three towers involved in the directional antenna. They were told not to drill in that area and were on site without my knowledge. By the time we could have repaired it, we would have been close to the January sign-off date, so it was chosen to simply stay on night pattern for the time being. This originally came from nyrmb.com via radio discussions via medium wave echo of the Arctic Radio Club. There's a medium wave harmonic on the 2 MHz band, which I have not been able to hear, 2400 WDSC in Dillon, South Carolina. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Don Moore in Pennsylvania reports hearing this on January 30th at 09:35 with iHeart Radio Promos and Sports. It's 3 times 800 kHz. And also heard by Jack Amilar in Lowell, Michigan, January 31st at midnight 33. Here's something interesting on the WBCQ.com website. Look for the link to Propagation Models, January 2021. There are 98 pages PDF of VOA CAP maps, that is, showing theoretical field strength rings for each frequency hour by hour. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder, geomagnetic field expected to reach G1 minor storm conditions on February 21st and March 6th. AN Candace is peaking at 20 and 5. Slightly lower March 1st at 18 and 4. And the solar flux predicted to be stuck at 73 all the way through March 6th. And that's World of Radio 2073. Glenn Hauser, hoping you found it informative, and will hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.